You see, the title of today's sermon is Scary Joy. Sounds like an oxymoron. Maybe it is an oxymoron. As we look through this, I think we'll find out that sometimes things begin one way and end another. And Brad said I have to make sure I turn that on. As you look at this young child there on this great big horse, I mean, she's scared. This horse is big. This is the very first time she's been on a horse, but yet she pushed through that scary moment, partly because her mother was alongside. She wasn't alone. She knew that mom said it'll be okay. So she could do that. And if she continues to ride and continues to be committed to that, that one day scary can become joy when she runs the race and is the winner of the race. Perhaps some of you can't really relate to horses and racing. Perhaps you relate better to this. Scary. Scary. He practiced all night long of what he wanted to say, changed the words a dozen times, and was afraid she would say no. Yet, he pushed through scary, and also I gotta admit, I've never been the bride or, the one receiving the proposal, but she's scared too. When she replies, her voice trembles, yet he pushed through that and hoped she would say yes. And she did. And so that was so scary in the beginning, it becomes great joy. Great joy. I want to talk a little bit more about, certainly we can all see the joy that's on their faces, but to realize that there's other things in our Christian life that are scary, but yet can become joy. You've seen this chart many times. Jeffrey's shown it a few times. I wanted, before we talk about that, to kind of just take off on a little sidetrack here, because there's something that I think we might not have communicated clearly as leaders of the church here. And that is, if you look on your bulletin, you're going to see that the church may know Glen Rock and the Glen Rock know the church. Why Glen Rock? And your question is bound to come to some of your minds. Shouldn't I be talking to my neighbors, whether I live in New Freedom or Shrewsbury or Spring Grove or whatever? Shouldn't I still be take looking for opportunities to build relationships with them and share the gospel to them if they don't live in Glen Rock? Yes! Please don't stop. However, the leadership here, particularly Alan and I, and also lots of input from Jeffrey, we chose to shoot with a rifle rather than a shotgun. And if you're not shooters, I'll explain that. A shotgun, all these little pellets come out and when they're real close, they're pretty effective. And then the farther they go, the more dispersed they get. And eventually it gets to a point where those little pellets aren't effective. Matter of fact, far enough away, they would actually bounce off of you. But a rifle maintains that force and all that momentum in a single place. It's highly accurate. You shoot a rifle at a bullseye. You shoot a shotgun that away, and those pellets spread out. And so we intentionally wanted to pick an area of focus to put all the emphasis, the organized emphasis of the church. You keep doing what you've been doing with your neighbors and friends and family in a particular place. And we chose Glen Rock. It's the nearest town. It's also we have been known as the Glen Rock Church of Christ. That's my side note that I think is a question that some of you still have, and I hope you don't have it anymore. We're shooting with a rifle this year at Glen Rock and the lost souls that are there and the souls that God is calling. As we go over this chart, every one of these steps can be a little bit scary, you know, beginning a casual conversation. Maybe you're just not somebody that feels comfortable talking, but most of us can talk about the weather and sports and heaven forbid politics. And if we're intentional, we can move that to a meaningful conversation, you know, and that meaningful conversation is where you begin to let your walls down and that person lets their walls down. Perhaps they share with you something that's really bothering them, whether it's they're worried about their children, whether it's they're worried about their marriage, physical, you know, ailments that, you know, they've got an upcoming heart surgery, lost their job, financial insecurity, you name it. It's something where that person has trusted you enough to be vulnerable with you and share something that is a concern in their life. And frequently you can encourage someone to do that by you're willing to share something in your life that's a little personal and makes you a little vulnerable. The goal of that is not to end there, but to end in a meaningful conversation. We mostly need to listen. And Dave Simmons needs to know that because he's not real good at it. We need to listen more than we talk. And then you can move that meaningful conversation to help that person understand that their needs and concerns can be met through the God in heaven. And that you move it to a spiritual conversation. Maybe relate what your personal experience, someone you know here at church or somewhere else where there are solutions, not that all our problems go away, but that the God in heaven has solutions. And whether that is while we're here on earth or in eternity, and to move them then from that spiritual conversation to, if we want to know what God says or what God is doing for us, shouldn't we look into God's word? Kind of makes sense to me. And then we move that from prayer to service to love to truth. And to get them to the point where they're willing to look into God's word simple ways. The Discovery Bible Studies, we often refer to it as the Bookmark Bible Studies. They are intentionally simple, but they focus on a single passage from God. And they're simple because as the one leading that effort, you ask the same questions every time. And you might find that there's some other method of Bible study that's better for you. You may, after listening to this person's what they shared as their real hurts and their felt and real needs, that you want to customize something that goes directly to that. But still, you can use those same, and so it might not be a printed bookmark in that study, but we can still use those same questions. What does the scripture teach us about God? What does it teach us about people? How does it apply to me? Is there somebody else I know that needs to know this about what we're reading today? And in doing that, as I said, each one of those steps, you know, becomes a little more scary. You know, when we first make that switch from meaningful to to spiritual conversation, we don't know how that person's going to react. But we've built some level of trust, or else they wouldn't have revealed to you their some vulnerability in their life. So there's already a certain amount of trust. But it's scary to make that transition because we're hoping that's not the end of the conversation and that they don't turn their back and don't want to talk anymore. And then when we make that transition from a spiritual conversation to actually opening the Bible, that too is scary. Because we've built a relationship with this person. We've invested time in them. We love them. And the fear is that if we make that move, then they might reject it and not want to talk anymore. That could be the end. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it. Getting past that scary point, the joy and the rewards that are beyond that make it worth it. And that's joys in this life and joys in the life to come. And I can tell you that it can be one of the most rewarding things you'll ever do. However, sometimes, you know, part of the scary thing is we don't want to, you know, we're not comfortable doing it alone. But we can know, just like that child getting on the horse, when mom's walking along and helping her hold the reins and control the horse, that we're not alone. Jesus and the Spirit will guide us in what we'll have to say. He's made those promises to us. We're not alone. And there are many people in this church that if you want somebody else to join you, you know, in a Bible study, will gladly help you. Whether if you're looking for help of what should I say, how should I start, or you want them to be there. They will. Lots of us, you know. So you're not alone. That scary part you can forget about. You're not. And sometimes it can end in the joy of wet hugs in the baptistry. That's the great joy. But the thing I want to emphasize is that's not the finish line. That's not the end. That's just the beginning. Just like that marriage is just the beginning, and they throw the flowers and rose petals on you as you go out, and everybody's smiling, and it's so wonderful. That's not the end. That's the beginning. And so we need to keep working towards and helping one another to keep moving, keep prospering. And the end is the eternity with our Lord. Yeah. Whether it's that our life ends before he comes back, or we're here on the day when he comes back and we rise to meet him in the air. That is the end goal. Eternity with our Lord, not because of what we've done, but because of his redeeming love and grace. But we need to be willing to take the scary steps. And we need to experience joy now and forever. That it's worth it. It's worth it to take a chance to push past our comfort zones, do things we've never done before, get up on that big scary horse, and have conversations that you make a little uneasy. And I can also tell you this. As far as moving through that circle of conversations, the more often you do it, the easier it'll get, and you'll learn, and you'll realize that a lot of the things that I was afraid of didn't even happen. So the words of Jesus, I want us to take a look at. I didn't want it to be all pictures, but I'm hoping some of these pictures told a message for you. And I'm hoping that it helped you grasp it better than me rambling on. And most often when I have the opportunity to speak, I lean heavily on scriptures. Today I leaned on pictures and you know, some of my words, but I'm confident that those all had a message that came from scripture. I'm hoping you can read this. This is the parable of Jesus and the lost sheep. Let's see, you many of us are familiar with it, but there's a few things I want to focus on here. It's in, as you can see, it's Luke 15, verses 1 through 7, if you want to follow along in your Bible, or look up on the screen. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you have lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go into and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there's no more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. There are many lessons in this short parable. One is the value to God of one. The value of one soul. And you and I, we're that one. He doesn't ignore us or love us less because he has millions. One soul matters. And if it matters to God, it should matter to us. And that we're willing to step out and do things out of our comfort zone in order to reach out to that one that God is calling. And so that one day that joy of the angels in heaven can happen. And also, in the very beginning, and I don't have it highlighted in red, but I think it's an important lesson for us that Jesus, who we want to, we are his disciples, so we strive after his example, he receives sinners and eats with them. He spends time with people who are away from God, who live a life opposite of God. Who we would, you know, God would look at as sinners. He spends time with them. He eats with them. You know, and we should be doing the same. To give up of our time, our most precious commodity, because we can't make more. We can't make more days in the week, hours in a day. You know, if it's dollars, you know, if you're working, maybe you can work some overtime, get a second job, part-time job. You can make more money. You cannot make more hours in the day. It's our most precious thing. But God calls us to give it, to be about his business, to be about his work, to be about his mission, and to care for that one and love that one just like he does. And really, generally, there's no real substitute for time spent together to build relationships. As we read down through the parable, he also asked us to, you know, if there's this lost one outside the flock, for us to go, to be willing to go. And there will be rejoicing. And when they're brought back, whether it's that a fellow Christian that has strayed, and is headed in the wrong direction and needs you to come and have a serious conversation with them, point them back, encourage them, don't give up, it's worth it. Or someone that has not yet accepted Christ, not yet committed their life to Christ and Jesus, that they are outside of the blood of a redeeming Christ. And either way, I'm convinced this parable is true, that there is more joy in heaven over that one than the 99 who need no repentance. So think on these things. But there's one other thing that I want you to think about. You've heard the parable of Jesus. Well, I want to tell you a story that I thought of when I saw the photograph of that wedding, you know. And to think back over what may have been their circumstances. They grew up in the same neighborhood when they were little. And when they were, their parents took them to a wedding when they were 4 years old. So like little kids do, they copy what they see grown-ups doing. So that the next day, when they were playing in the sandbox, they did the things they saw the grown-ups doing, and they exchanged vows, and their mother was looking out, the little girl was looking out the window, and she took photos because it was so cute. However, when they were older and understood what a lifetime commitment and the seriousness of marriage, they knew they weren't married. And if you think of the photo during the proposal there on the dock by the lake, such a romantic place, the woman, after she said yes to his proposal, they were engaged, but not yet married. They, as it's getting, the wedding's getting closer, they agreed on their vows and practiced saying them together to one another before the wedding, but they weren't yet married. The laws, they understood that the laws of our country and in the eyes of God, they were not yet married. They were still Miss, and she was not yet Mrs. They were still two apart, not yet one. Some of you are engaged to Christ. You love him. You have maybe even made vows of faith and confession, but not married yet. You're not yet clothed in Christ where you'll be one with him. There's still a little something that you're separate. You're two. And he has not given you the indwelling of his Spirit that is his seal, that you're his redeemed child. And that seal isn't a vow of until death do you part. It's forever. It's his guarantee that you are his child and that he's bringing you home to be in heaven together with for him. Some of the things I've said may make you uncomfortable. Some of the things I've said may even make you angry. And if you're angry with me, I hope you'll talk to me later. Or maybe you will want to talk to someone here that you trust more than you trust me. But the thing I desperately don't want is for you to go away and not talk to anybody. This was going to be hard for me, and it is. The last part I thought of this morning as I was waking up. So perhaps was not as prepared as I would like to be. I didn't have photos to go with it. But it's the one that makes my hand shake and my voice tremble. So I'm sure it's true. I pray that those of you that are engaged to Christ want to be married to him, want to be clothed with him, want to die to self, be buried with him, have and emulate his death, burial, and resurrection, which is the core of the gospel. Because I've been to three funerals. within a very short period of time. And they were all younger than me. It makes you think. Life is not forever. My prayer is that if you're engaged but not yet married, that you act on that this week. If not this week, today. If not later today, now. As I've said, the scriptures speak to us. I've spoken to you today in my words. If you have any questions, please come and talk to me. And Dan's going to lead us in a prayer. If this message was to you about what you need to go and do, to do scary things, to reach out with the gospel and build relationships, and to go where you've never gone before. I pray you'll do that. If you're still engaged, because of your faith and your confession, but yet not married, not yet clothed in Christ, please let today be the day of your salvation.